Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/new.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk. Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/new.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
All right, welcome to our Q&A. Monday morning, we're doing it. Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, is with us. I'm Tony Bruschi. I'm here. We're going to be talking about a couple different cases today. We're going to start with David, and your questions, please drop them in the comment section on Substack and YouTube and Facebook, and we're going to try and get to them as we go through here. It's impossible to look at the tragic fate of 13-year-old Celeste Rivas Hernandez without feeling a profound, sickening sense of systematic and familial failure. A highly vulnerable girl cried out for help through three separate disappearances in a single year. Yet, she was met with absolute silence from the adults tasked with protecting her. Now that her remains have been discovered in an impounded Tesla and a 21-year-old pop star is in handcuffs, the entire world is finally starting to pay attention. So how does a child scream so loudly in plain sight, only to be completely ignored until she becomes a horrific true crime spectacle? That's what we are getting into today. David has within 24 to 48 hours of the arrest, there's going to be something going on here. He's either going to be charged today or he's going to be let loose. Very likely charges are going to be coming down. So by the time you're watching or reading this, the charges may have already been made. We're going to assume that they have and discuss the case and your questions. Let's start with our first one. It says, I'm looking at my own kids on their phones and I'm terrified. She was allegedly groomed on Discord back in 2022, right in her own house. How do we even spot this before they walk out the door? And I get it. That's a tough question, especially for parents that have kids that age. I have a daughter exactly that age. And it's a weird one. because they are on their devices. They are doing this. It's not as easy as it used to be, where you had like the family computer and you could kind of keep an eye on what they're getting into. They got their own devices. They got this, they got that. They got their own accounts. What do you do? How do you keep track of that stuff? Robin, what's your thoughts on where this case is sitting and our first question there?
Yeah, so I'll go with the first question first, because this is the one that all of us face every single day with our kids, and it's constantly evolving, but we can keep it really simple. And years ago, I was a board member of the Innocent Lives Foundation, and so we face this every day as we're out there trying to uncover nefarious individuals trying to groom our children into doing things that are definitely not in their best interest. And so, as with whether it's true crime, recruiting spies, or all those skill sets I learned in all these different areas of my life, gave me the skill set to be the number one thing that's most important to me, and you too, Tony, and as well as everyone in our audience, that is being a parent. Because the number one thing you always want to think of is, what am I doing that's going to help or hinder a healthy dialogue and relationship with our children? Because that's the first thing we need to do. We need to have that healthy relationship. So here you are sitting at home. You're thinking, oh my God, this Celeste thing is horrendous. David, is this whole thing is horrendous. How do I prevent it? Communication, communication, communication. And then you got to think of, what can you do to inspire your kids to want to dialogue with you? Here's the toughest thing ever. You can't judge what's coming out of their mouths. You can't judge the friends. You cannot impose what you think is right or wrong on them yet. You have to discover it. You have to inspire them to want to share it so you can actually work the problem together. That's all life is all about. How do you work these challenges and problems together? Now, you'll have resistance. You'll have all these things. But the most important thing always is to be curious. Watch for, and here's the major tell always. Watch for behavior pattern changes, because the number one thing that groomers do is isolate their prey. They want to get them isolated. Just look at all the cults we cover. What mm-hmm. do all these cults do? They isolate, they control, they shame, they use power over them. And so if you notice a wobble in your children's lives with their communication with you or others or anyone else, that's where you don't overreact. Don't go, oh my God, freak out and judge. And because all you're going to do is isolate them more. They're going to feel more ashamed. You know, you inspire them to share by having them. I remember I had an acronym I used, and one of the first one is in it was T. Teach. Have your kids teach you what they're doing. Have them show you and educate you on how they're doing, what they're doing, and most importantly, who's in their lives. The rule in our house, when my kids are in their late 20s now, but even younger, I remember when they were on these gaming platforms, my wife didn't want them to be able to communicate with anyone. You can't talk to anyone online. I'm like, unrealistic, because either you can be part of it and aware of it, or you can outlaw it and they're just going to hide it from you. Yeah. And so the big rule in our house was, educate me on who you're talking to so we can have a dialogue and discussion. And so that every time you got off your game or at the end of the day, tell me who you played with. I want to hear about them. I want to hear, you know, if that's what you allow in your house. And so I was always about, the number one thing always was transparency, transparency, transparency. Don't judge it, because that way, if you're not judging it, you can shift it by asking questions. Hey, how is this individual helping you or hindering you with what you want to achieve? How are these behaviors healthy or unhealthy in your lives? Are they doing this? Are they doing this? And so allowing people, including your own kids, to discover choices and consequences for choices hand in hand with you to keep them safe through that communication. Granted, who knows right or wrong. I'm just telling you, that's what we did in our house. Yeah. And that's what I'm always looking for. I'm looking for wobbles and behaviors, and we just address them like this.
Well, and I think the reality is, so many parents are parenting in a way that mimics how they were raised. I mean, it's how I was raised. And we look back and go, I wonder why that didn't work out so well, because a lot of it involved isolation, control, and shame.
Yes.
To control. And if you truly want to help that person become an individual that can navigate the world, isolating them, controlling them, and shaming them are not the correct routes. It's inspiring them to do good, to make the right choices. It's not shaming, but that is For so many of us, it's like, it's foreign. It breaks the mold of how we thought that this is how you raise children. It's not. I mean, you're not going to get the results you're looking for if that's the way you're doing it. Because guess what? You know what also is happening out there? The predators are using the exact same pattern, the isolation, the control, and the shame. 100%. It's funny that we end up doing that in our own homes sometimes to prevent people, or in our nearsightedness. Yeah. We think we're protecting our children from predators by doing the exact same shit that they're doing to isolate, control, and shame, and then keep that person over here on the other side. And guess what? It feels familiar to the kids. It feels like home in a certain way. Yeah. When someone kind of sneaks in and kind of has the same sort of MO and the same sort of way of handling their emotions and their feelings. Well, dad handles things like that. Mom handles things like that. This person must have my best interests at heart too. But at the end of the day, it never does anything for the actual autonomy of the person to teach them how to deal with the world. I mean, we're looking at it right now quite a bit in the Duggar household. The isolation there, the control, the shame of just having emotions in life. And look at those people. They're not remotely prepared for the real world. And the ones that are spinning out of control seem to be completely clueless that they're even spinning out of control. I completely agree. It is something, I think one of the most powerful things that you've ever said to me, that you've said on the air, is just the words "inspire them," because that's the lever that needs to be pulled every time. If you're trying to get something, if you're trying to get somebody, or you're trying to look out for someone's best interest, not just get them to do what you want them to do, but to get them to do what's going to be best for them in your own view. Especially if you're a parent, you're looking out for your kids. You want to inspire them to get there. You can't push them there. You can't shame them there. You're not going to control them there. You're not going to isolate them there. Inspire them, and that's what's key. And if you don't have the tools, you can end up in a frunk, basically.
Yeah. And, you know, the bottom line for everything we ever did in my house and still do is always asking that question. Is what you're about to do or say going to help or hinder a healthy relationship with a healthy dialogue? Internal, external, absolutely everything. Because all problems in life are interpersonal problems. All problems in life are relationship problems. And probably the one thing I'm really, really good at, maybe two or three, if I'm lucky, but is I don't, and again, we've talked about this on the show. When I hear crazy shit, I don't freak out. I don't react. I get curious. And so me never reacting in a way that would create walls to go up or a feeling of shame or embarrassment, my kids are never embarrassed to share anything with me. They just share because they know I'm not going to overreact. And if it's a challenge, you don't even hear me say the word problem. If it's a challenge, what better resource it is than work it together? I love working challenges because our household has the philosophy of it's a great rep. As challenging as a situation is, with crazy relationships, with unhealthy, toxic people. I mean, my son and I were just talking about today coming back from a camping trip. Some of the crazy situations and people he's dealt with in life, and all we said was that was a great rep. What do we learn? We were doing after actions on it all day this morning on a drive back from a camping trip. We are just working, constantly reworking. What do we learn? What could be different next time? Not that we would change. We both say this all the times too. All the experiences we have in life makes us who we are. So there's no regrets over choices. But we could probably handle each situation a bit better. How we communicated, how we're being transparent, how we focus on the healthiness versus the unhealthiness. And so as you're facing this, kind of getting back again to the theme of this question, what can we do for our own kids? Inspire them, like you said, unlock it from within them to want to share their lives with you by not shaming them from the choices they're making at a young age.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is a big thing too. There's probably a lot of parents listening right now going, I don't know that I've been doing that. You can change. Start now. Don't dig in and be like, well, it's not how I've been doing. Like, change. Just, you can do better. Everybody can do better. We can always do better. I hope the day I die, I'm like, well, if I had a few more days, I think I might do things a little bit better this way. Because it's always a journey. It's always learning and going from the reps that you have and trying to make better decisions as you progress. There's never just the one answer to everything.
And I'm sorry to interrupt. I want to make sure, because I know we're about to move on. Here's one thing you can do. So here's a typical situation. You hear your kids say something to you. Our typical response is, don't do that. that's, you shouldn't do it that way. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this. Anything where you want, you hear them say or do something and you're going to have that, shift it. You can stay on the same topic. Say, instead of saying you should do it this way, say, hey, what was the outcome you were seeking? What were you hoping to achieve? What were you hoping to do? So in other words, ask a what question with what, you know, in other words, start to help them gauge and think out the consequence of actions. It's like, what were the outcome you were seeking? Was that helping and hindering where you're going? If they're doing something at school or they're doing something with the friends and they said, well, so-and-so said something and something to me, I say, all right, what do you think the outcome of their actions they were seeking was? Do you think it was against you or for themselves? I mean, so you just keep asking questions non-judgmentally. So it gets their gears in their brain working a little bit more, thinking, playing these things out, doing the thought experiments together with them. Anyway.
Yeah, I love it. No, I mean, it sounds silly, but it doesn't. Because it's like, it's obvious things, but it's like, it's not so obvious all the time. When you're a parent, you take a step back and go, okay, yeah, I could definitely use a refresher on this. I could use some inspiration on this. So I think it's very important to say these things out loud because I don't think a lot of times it's done. Let's go to another question on this specific case. This is from Mark via Patreon. And if you want to join our Patreon, the link is in the description. Do you think David, and this is assuming that he's part of this, so let's just play that, obviously innocent until proven guilty. Yep. Do you think David Burke targeted her specifically because her home life was such a mess? Like, did he see a psychological vacancy and just swoop in to play the savior so she'd willingly leave? It's kind of a loaded question because it's insinuating predatory behavior. I don't know if it's insinuating that he, you know, targeted her to kill her. I don't think anybody targeted anybody to kill anybody here, quite honestly. But I guess let's go back to the makeup of the relationship, because obviously there's video of the two of them sitting in front of the screen chatting at one point. So did he target her to have that relationship? We don't know the lines of the relationship. Were they just friends? Was it something more? We don't know. So did he target her because she was vulnerable, because her home life was more than a hot mess? What's your thoughts? Again, he was 19 at the time. She was 12, 13, around there. That's the age gap. Is this a predatory someone targeting at this point? I go ahead.
Yeah, targeted is an interesting word, isn't it? I think it was a relationship of opportunity that I think fit both of them where they were at, and they were playing into it because his behaviors are very predatory. I think, again, from what we see and observe from the outside in, who knows? But I really think, because when you look at his background, very religious family, religious background and upbringing, you have very controlled environment. And typically we've been seeing this, we have our own confirmation biases going on right now because we've covered so many cults recently. A lot of times when you come up in such a controlled environment, one thing you're trying to do is exercise your own control. And that's what we kind of see in this situation, where he's exercising potentially some control. And I wouldn't call it targeted, but he saw an opportunity in someone who was looking to make a connection with someone because of something missing in her life, because of lack of healthy relationships in another area of her life. And here he is of a... probably, you know, saying some very good things, some very nice things, giving her validation. So he was doing the grooming behaviors that predators will do when they're targeting someone for horrendous things. Do I necessarily think that was, he was like thinking to himself, oh, I got a target of opportunity, I'm going to get her? No, I don't think it was like that. I think it was literally she came into his sphere of influence that he could see, and he had needs, he had control issues, whatever it was that she kind of fit together like this with that. So I think it was that combined with two brains that are under 24 years old doing stupid, emotionally impulsive, emotionally needy, both of them filling gaps and needs that were not fulfilled with healthy, stronger relationships in their closer immediate circle. And it just has wound up in disaster.
And I have a lot of questions because, like, something inspired her to think that life is better hanging out, you know, allegedly with David, as, you know, She was lying about her age, allegedly, from many people saying that she was 19 years old. We don't know if David knew her actual age. For all we know, she could have been lying to him the whole time. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to make any sort of excuse for him. I'm just trying to look at what cards did the people have in their hands when they were playing them? And what did they believe they had while they were playing them? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think anybody, you know, really does, unless we can find some sort of proof that he knew her actual age. Either way, you got, again, not a lot of life reps here in terms of David either. Mm-hmm. So having a friend who's, you know, we now know is 13 at the time. If she's saying she's 19, she's coming from an unhappy family life, which a lot of people do. And predators do tend to prey on that. I just don't know if he was preying on that or if it was he thought he was interacting with another teenager that was coming from an unhappy home, and they became buddies and they became friends, and something horrible happened and they had to cover up a crime of her being dead. I don't know. And I'm not saying that that is exactly what happened. I have no clue, but there's a lot of weird caveats in this case as far as who knew what and when. And I think that's what is going to come down to when this gets to court, as far as any sort of accountability for life and death and what happened to Celeste Rivas Hernandez. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one. But I think, it comes down to a lot of lack of life experience here and how to handle the unexpected.
I think, yes. And, you know, and definitely to the point of one of our listeners, just, you know, it doesn't matter in the eyes of the law. Absolutely, it doesn't, because these are still choices.
Yeah.
What all these people involved really didn't have, kind of going back to our first question that we were talking about, no one had a great, healthy, mature relationship that was a loving critic saying, because, again, I know we talked with Coffendeffer again on Friday about this, you know, and I know your feelings on this too. I don't think this was a intentional murder for whoever did it. This screams of, oops, tragedy had been because we were really stupid and we're morons. And typically when really stupid morons do stupid things, the first thing you should do is let someone who isn't stupid weigh in. It's like, hey, we should call the cops. We should let, you know, we should, when something dumb happens, rational minds, sound minds say we need to bring transparency to this as fast as possible, because horrendous mistakes happen from time to time. In order to move through this, we have to have transparency, open, honest communication, and move through it to work the problem that we just created for ourselves and this tragedy that we just created for ourselves and in our family and other families. But my conjecture on this one is that you had a lot of underdeveloped brains doing stupid and doubling down on stupid, making it worse and worse and worse until you wind up with a horrendously decomposed body of her in a Tesla. I mean, how stupid is that? That just rings about the age maturity level of the individuals involved in this.
It really does. It's going to be fascinating as this starts to play through the court system, if it starts playing through the court system. Like I said, as of this recording, he has a court date today. We don't know if he has a court date today. We are expecting charges today is officially what we're looking at. We'll let you know what happens there. We're recording this assuming that they're going to drop. But all of this is relevant based on where we're sitting right now. Again, curious to get your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We will continue to update this and give you more insight as this all progresses. I know a little bit later in the week, Bob Mott is going to be on with us. And we're going to be discussing kind of the legal end of where this is all sitting. Again, assuming that charges are imminent or have already come down by the time you're watching this. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.